Our import is Ivan Johnson. There's a game where we lost with Hong Kong, with Stan Hardinger.
Stan Hardinger.
We lost with Stan Hardinger because Stan Hardinger doing physical work with him.
Uh-huh.
And then we lost.
Getting his
and
head.
Then in the locker room, he's butt naked and shouting, "You all guys." And they said, "What?" And no one's looking at him because he's butt naked. He's shouting to us in the receptor.
I know you. You was looking.
You did. You looked up.
And said, "You all guys, not playing. You're not helping."
Hey, man. It's been a minute.
It's about that time.
Is it Dame time?
Oh, it's time.
Dude, it's been too long overdue, man. Let's tell him. Okay, let's tell him.
We're here.
Hey, yo, welcome to season 2, Let It Fly. It's been a long time, you guys.
Worth the wait. It's going to be crazy.
This time, just like we told you guys, we're going bigger, better than ever. Look, we are now powered by Smart. So not only are we going to be on YouTube, we're also going to be on all demand streaming apps across the Smart ecosystem. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, we're giving you guys different outlets to reach us. We got some crazy, crazy guests that were highly requested by you guys for season 2.
Tell them the first one, dog.
I mean, should we get to it right now? Because, I mean, we got them here.
Might as well.
Since the first episode, we asked who you guys wanted from season 1 of Let It Fly. They're now our first episode of season 2. Over 550,000 subscribers on their own YouTube channel. Amazing is here. The PBA, the Moto Club is here for first episode of season 2 of Let It Fly. Let's get straight to it.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, guys? Finally,
such an honor. I know, right? It took a minute.
This out for a while.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys for making it. This has been long.
It's so dope, man.
When we first even started this show, season 1, we were like, we got to collaborate. We got to get PBA Moto Club on here. So to finally have this come to fruition is pretty dope. I think this is going to be a great episode. A lot of insight. We'll touch a little bit. Obviously, you guys, illustrious careers in the PBA, some more than others, but just like you had illustrious careers
already,
rookie of the year. Come on, man! Like you know,
that was it.
Your favorite coach, Coach Tim, right? Your favorite coach.
And my worst coach.
He's your favorite at worst?
Yeah. Both ways.
Nah, people don't know this, but go ahead and say, who's your worst coach you ever played for?
My favorite coach is Tim Cohn. And he's also my worst coach. You know why?
Why? How's he both?
He's my favorite coach because growing up, I wanted to be an Alaska player because of him.
You can speak Tagalog. You know that, right?
Mm-mm. No, English.
All right, and then when finally I will be able to play with him just for one conference, and he traded me. That's why he became my worst coach.
Yeah. Okay. Why did he trade you? You had so much potential.
I don't know why. You can ask him though.
Yeah.
I want to talk to him. We will invite him also.
Management.
You never asked him? Like, coach, why did you trade me? Like, I was rookie of the year.
I told him before going to Ginebra. I visited the practice of BMEG, right? And then he approached me and said, "Rico, I really, really like you as my player. You're important to me. But it's management's decision." Come on, coach. Don't be ridiculous.
That's a good, nice
it's
word.
It's yours.
Yeah,
but this history. I have an experience of playing for him for one conference. And then the blessing out of it is I met this guy.
Oh.
Sweet. Ginebra. So.
Ang tamis naman.
Yes, everyone wants to play Jorge Nebra, right? You know that.
Yeah.
If you're a PBA player, at least 9 out of 10, everyone wants to experience playing for him.
For sure, for sure.
And then it's a privilege for me to play for at least 2 years.
Yeah.
And meant this guy.
Was Coach Tim the coach that you told you that you have a chance to be the best player in the league? Or was that Coach Ryan?
It's Coach Ryan.
Oh, Coach Ryan.
Coach Ryan said to me,
number one kicker.
Ryan Gregorio?
You can be the best player in the PBA history. And I said, all right.
Why is Coach known for that stuff?
No. Coach Ryan.
Oh, Coach Ryan told
Coach Ryan Gregorio. No, he's known for that. He's the number one cooker, bro.
Hey, man.
That's everyone's.
Everyone knows that. He told me the exact same thing, Greco.
Really? Yeah. I thought I'm the only one. No, because it's his motivation. Because you know why I know I'm not the only one. He has this every season. He will invite everyone in a specific small room.
Yeah, yep.
And then sit down there. And then one-on-one, it's quiet and it's intimate. And then he will tell to his player, you will be my best player.
Yeah.
And then going out, right? So we have practice.
Yeah.
And then the players will ask each other, hey, what did Coach Ryan told
you? Why he talked to you, yeah.
And then Rafi Ribis told me, Coach Ryan said, I'll be the best. He said to me that exact thing, right? So that's why we know that he's telling that to motivate everyone. I think that's just a motivation.
Yeah, it's just a motivation tactic. I mean, obviously, if you have everybody on your team thinking that they're going to be the best player, they're probably not going to work out because everybody's going to, you know, you kind of set your roles in a way of saying, hey, you could be the best in your role, star in your role in this area. You're going to be the best rebounder. You're going to be, you know, because everyone's best player thinking maybe that they got to do everything.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he meant.
He's a good talker.
Yeah, he's a great talker. But
he told me I'll be better than James Yap.
That's when you knew.
That's when you were like, no.
But shoot, man, let's rewind this a little bit. Let's like start from the beginning. Like, how did the PBA Motor Club start? What was really the vision when you guys first started this journey, if you will?
It wasn't no vision, man. It was just totally random, man. I got a call from Mark. Mark was like, hey, let's go ride. And then I called Rico. Rico called James. James called this guy. Yeah. And he was just, let's all meet at McKinley, at Saul's place. So we just ended up going to his place. And then we ended up going for a ride in Tagaytay. And Rico was just like, hey, man, let's video this so we can see how we look when we're riding. He looks cool.
Okay.
That was it.
And that was really
that was it. And then
who was the original? Who was like the original group that really kind of started it off?
Yeah, it was me, Joe, Rico, JJ, Mark Aguila, L.A. Tenorio.
Raymond.
Raymond Aguilar.
JC and Tall. James also.
Yeah, we have this picture.
Yeah, we remember the picture. In front of Cafe Voila, no?
Yeah.
Lamont was there, right?
Lamont, original member.
Sure, Marcus.
Raymond Aguilar.
Yeah.
Right.
So we honestly just started getting our own GoPros and vlogging. And it's a funny story, like, because we all have motorcycles and we have pack talks. And this is when it was like extremely fun because we all had their communication devices Bluetooth that connect to your helmet and you're talking to each other. And Joe is like, you know, everyone knows how Joe is. And he's like, we're clowning JJ because we all have actual motorcycles.
JJ
was out there with a scooter, bro.
Scooters, moped? A moped?
It was like a scooter.
It was a motorcycle, but it didn't have a clutch.
Yeah,
it was 750cc.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's still something. Damn.
And we're all zooming past JJ. Go ahead. Tell the story, Jeff.
So by the end of the night, man, everyone's like, we're heading back home. Well, we're on NLEX, right?
SLEX
on the highway. And for some reason, Saul or Mark and Joe are getting into it. They were like, man, I will burn you. And yeah, Saul or Mark was like, man, you can't outrun me. And so they started talking. And all of a sudden, they all line up. They weren't racing, guys. It was just, but anyways.
They were racing.
They all took off, man.
Yeah.
took off. They were gone. I couldn't see them, man. I'm on my scooter. And they just left me, man. And this was my first time riding.
Yeah.
My first time on SX. I didn't know where to exit or anywhere, man. Shit. So they were all like, they were all talking, like going to BGC, right? That was a meetup place. I didn't know because I couldn't hear nobody no more.
Yeah, so ended, when you get past a certain distance, you lose communication. So he was that far behind.
So I ended up going home. They were like, Where you at? I'm like, man, y'all left me, man. Forget y'all. So next week, I ended up just getting a real motorcycle.
So JJ's infamous now because he ran through motorcycles like
I got underwear, addicted, bro. I got addicted.
Like, he got it. Like, literally, he would change his motorcycle. He would have a motorcycle for 1 week, change it out, get a different one. Like, every time we were meeting up, he had a different motorcycle.
Word? I mean, it'd be cool if JJ told the story, other than you just talking for all the time. Like, I barely even get to talk to Rico. I haven't said shit either.
Because he's
this
rich.
This is how it is every time. Wow. It's like this every time.
Hey, so because he's rich.
No.
You can buy him a motorcycle rich, every week.
I was waiting for him to buy me a motorcycle.
No, I'm just bad with money. There's a difference. There's a difference.
No, but Rico, tell the story on how, like, the name PBA Moto Club and how it all started. Like, that was our first time riding together.
First of all of us is PBA players. So James called Joe, this guy called Mark, you calls me. So everyone called up. So we meet there, we have a breakfast, and then I want to have my own breakfast club. Because in riding community, you need to have at least one of a group wherein you can, you know, join for a breakfast and then go home, relax. That's how we relax. You ride motorcycle, we have breakfast, we talk with camaraderie and stuff. And then I'm the one said to the table and said, hey, this group is okay. This group is amazing. So let's create a club. PBA Moto Club. And for that instance, that's supposed to be Philippine Basketball Association Moto Club.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of us PBA players.
Yeah, ex-PBA players.
We can use that. I thought we can use that. But someone called me up and then asked about, you cannot use PBA because that's copyright.
Mm-hmm.
That is our, that's ours. That is not yours.
Yeah.
And then I asked, we're PBA players. And said, No. We will let our legal team talk to you.
So,
and then I said, that is not Philippine Basketball Association Moto Club. That is...
you're making it up on the spot.
Philippine Bikers Amazing Moto Club. So that's it. So from that moment, that's going to be our name.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And we made sure, because of the call... of the call up with the concerns, we registered it.
Yeah.
DTI.
Wow.
SEG. What else?
The other paperwork. I don't know.
All the paperwork. We have our lawyer, our friend lawyer. We have a member which is a lawyer. And then everything was fixed after that. Wow. After that call.
You know what's crazy about that is that tagline, amazing.
That's where it came
story
from.
Where, no, it didn't come from there. Like, I could talk because you're pretty much a host. I'm also part of PBA Moto Club. So when I'm talking, I'm also interviewing myself because I'm a part of this. So sorry that you feel left out. But you just do the hosting and I'm going to talk with PBA Moto Club, okay? Right. But tell the story on how, like, we would be at birthday parties. And it was so funny because his English has gotten so much better, like, tremendously. But what's funny is, like, when we would give speeches, you know how I always get flowers? Get flowers and stuff like that, and, you know, tell people on their birthdays and stuff. Rico would come, and he would give this line. It was my birthday. Saul, go, take. He's going to give a big speech.
You know, the amazing, it really came from the father of JC Intal, Narciso Intal.
Yeah.
Whenever there's a party or picture taking, he's not using cheese. He's using amazing.
He just ignored his whole story.
Right? Good. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So whenever there's a picture, he said, Okay, amazing on three. One, two, three. Amazing. So you're still smiling.
Right.
And then after that, we use that.
And it just stuck.
So that's a start. That's a start.
Yeah. But Rico would speech to Saul. Rico would, yeah, when he would give speeches, he kind of ran with it. This is why you're known as
Mr. Amazing.
Mr. Amazing. Yeah,
I'm always using
because him. He ran with it. He'd be like, Saul, and you'd think he's going to give you a good big speech. And yeah. It's like, you are truly amazing. That was it. Like,
I'm not good in English. That's right. Right. That's the only word I can say.
Yeah. So you're amazing. That was his first English word.
You're pretty good.
You're good, man. I mean, I wish we could speak Tagalog the same amount of English. Oh, that's that a setup. Speak.
When you guys go to PBA Motor Club HQ,
oh, Tagalog?
Have to speak
Tagalog.
Yeah, everything's
game,
Tagalog. Right?
Oh, game. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I'm with it.
Game can I buy?
Okay, lang yan.
All right. So, where did the writing? It just kind of took off. Like, where did you get your passion for just writing and where, you know, when you started writing, what did it do for you? Because I know it did for me, but
it was just boredom from pandemic. Because we started during the pandemic, right?
Right before it.
Yeah.
Smart.
And I was just bored out of my mind.
Didn't we come back, right, like, as they were, like, the pandemic started? Yes. We were on our way back from the... Right. From one ride.
Before it started.
Right before that same day. Yes. The very next day, it was like, okay, pandemic.
I think the volcano, you remember that?
When it popped off?
Yeah.
Up in Tagaytay?
We have one ride. There's a volcano.
Yeah.
In Tagaytay. And it's going to pop out.
Yep. I remember that. Yeah. So, what does riding do for you? Like, it just...
Man, for me, it's just a stress reliever, man. It clears my head, man. It's just like basketball.
Right? Yeah.
Whenever we're going through something, you get on the court. And for a couple hours, you forget about it.
Facts.
Right? So, that's what motorcycle... riding did for me. And it's also, when I retired, I miss the camaraderie, man.
Yeah.
I miss this, the chilling, the way you mess with your teammates. Mm-hmm. You know how you are. You're always messing with people.
Yeah, talking trash.
I missed all that stuff, man.
Yeah.
I miss, like, just hanging out and cutting it up. So when we were riding, it kind of brought me back to those days. So it felt like I wasn't even retired no more. When we made this whole thing happen.
Yeah, it gave you another outlet.
Yeah, man. Because when you retire, it's boring, bro. Boring.
And Mark be telling me, like, JD, don't retire. Just stay.
Bro.
Trust me. He would say the same thing. Boring.
Boring.
It's so boring compared to what you're used to.
And the thing is, like, when basketball's all you do for all those years, and then you stop, you're going to be like, dang.
What's my routine?
What am I going to do now?
Yeah.
And I end up getting fat, and once you get fat, it's hard to get back into shape. That's why I'm still playing, man, because I just...
You're jacked as shit,
I love to play, bro. I can't get it out of my system, man.
So, yeah. Is that why you unretired? Because, you know, why not the PBA? Why when you came back from retirement?
Well, because the PBA is something I don't see myself playing for any other team. Mm. And I know if I went back to it, there's no way I'm going to play anyway. I'm just going to be sitting on the
bench. Right next to me, bro.
and let's admit it sucks. You know, you want to be out there and you want to play. So I got an opportunity to play in the NPBL and the PSL. And the thing is, when my body's in pain, I don't have to practice.
Yeah.
In the PBA, you can't do that.
Yeah.
They won't let you, especially... Let's say you get a coach like Coach Tim is not gonna give you 3 days off just so you can rest your body.
Right.
Right. So that's in the PASL, there's more of a understanding for that for the older players, and then you go out there and you get minutes, man.
Yeah,
so
you just play, have cool. fun.
Yeah, sounds fun, man.
Yeah, I remember those moments being with you, you know, towards the end of your career where you would come to practice and it's like, you're just really practicing because you weren't playing, but then you still feel like I can help the team.
For sure, man.
You know what I'm saying? So that's hard. Like, I understand why you wouldn't come back to the PBA.
It honestly took the joy out of it for me, man.
Yeah, I remember, bro.
It really drained me, man. Because it became more of a work. Like, I would get up and be like, oh, man, I got to do this again. That's why when we won that chip, I was like, man, all right, it's time, man. I don't want to disrespect the game. I don't want to cheat the game by not having that same energy, having that same drive, because it I wanted to play, man. I really wanted to contribute. Yeah. I'm not saying like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be out there, man. Yeah.
How did you feel about, because in that, I remember that season, you and Mark came in on that one of those games against these bums.
I'll never forget that shit, bro.
And,
that's right.
And they were going to win that game. Yes. And in the fourth quarter, you 3-1. And Mark just took just over. That game right there guys. Changed the whole series.
You bullied us. Asshole.
Honestly, man, I was pissed, bro.
Yeah, you wanted to show, yeah.
I felt like it was disrespectful.
That was on your birthday, too, when you guys won that game. I still remember that. We were
down 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I felt...
We had that shit.
I was being disrespected by being
put in. Being put in. Oh.
So, I Mark...
Garbage time minutes to treat a legend like that. Yeah.
And it seemed like the coaching staff gave up already. Mm-hmm. At that point.
Well, we've had many games where he gave up and then we like came back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I talked to Mark. I said, yo, Mark, man, I don't want to cuss, but I was like,
no, go ahead, bro.
I was like, F this. Every time you get the ball, shoot it. Every time I get it, I'm going to shoot it every single time. That's what I told him. And that's when we went up there, our shots were going in.
Yeah. They were made up. Were they?
And I had no legs, bro. Remember, I shot the ball, I backpedaled and I fell?
Yeah.
My legs were gone, bro. And that was this because I wasn't like used to getting minutes. And then to come off the bench cold at my age at that time, I was like,
that's tough.
Oh, man. But I was just, it was being mad more than anything, man.
Yeah. That shit was crazy. That's crazy. Bro. That was...
We lose that game. We're down 3-1.
3-1. Yeah.
And that would have been pretty it. Pretty much series is over with that. That changed the series right there for us. Do you have a memorable moment besides that in the PBA where you're like, this was the most memorable game I've ever had?
Same series when Justin got the ball at the top of the key.
Yeah, the shot.
And the whole stadium had their phones out, bro. I've never, ever seen that.
Never experienced
it. In a PBA game or any other game. The only time I've seen that was at a concert, at a Brian McKnight concert.
Brian McKnight.
When the lights were off. And everyone had their camera out.
That's exactly what it was
like. That's exactly what he was like, man. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, that was
and then for him to hit that shot.
It was like people knew something epic was about to happen.
Exactly.
It's like weird that everyone knew like, hey, there's something about to happen right now. Everyone, the whole court lit up, right?
And the thing was that at that moment, man, when he inbounded the ball, man, I was just sitting there. I was praying, man. I was praying the whole. I didn't even get up and celebrate with you guys, because when he hit that shot, I went back down and prayed. I was like, "Thank God." I was like, "Thank you, God, for hearing my prayers, hearing our prayers."
Yeah.
And I was just, man, I was just in tears because it was like a miracle shot, a miracle game, and man, shout out to Brownlee, man.
Was that your last game?
I think that was
your last game, honestly. Because you retired after that.
I retired after
that. That's a hell of a game to be your last game.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It is. You've been in the league for a long time. We're going to get to your illustrious career after this, Rico. Hey, Jay, just to tap on it a little bit, is Justin the best import you've ever played with?
For me, hands down, man.
Because you won championships with what? Alexander before?
Alexander. Chris Alexander and dang, I can't believe I forgot his name.
It's okay. We could.
Very first championship we got, the big guy, Torrey Braggs.
Okay. Wow.
Torrey Braggs. I played with a lot of great ones, man. But Justin, honestly, man, is like, to me, his game reminds me so much of Michael Jordan, bro.
Everyone says that, bro. Joke, man.
He's the Philippine Michael Jordan.
No joke.
Yeah.
That's how he plays. And as you can see, every time he's our import, man,
we win got a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You put him on the Gilas team, he wins a chip. This guy wins.
That shit's crazy,
bro.
Though.
Yeah, he wins.
You know what I'm
saying? So it's Lebanon
wins. And you know why? Because he's so good at being able to get buckets and at the same time getting everyone else involved.
Yeah.
He's not ball dominant, even though he gets 30, 40 points.
It kind of sneaks up, too. You look up at the scoreboard like, man, he got 22. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Exactly. How do you get that?
He's efficient.
Exactly.
He's efficient. He's not a volume shooter.
And I've never seen an import that's so humble, man. He comes to practice. He comes. He works.
Talks to everyone.
Yeah, man. He's
cool.
He don't complain with the food.
Nothing.
Couldn't play some nothing.
Straight.
That's he won a championship with Rico as well.
At ABL, right?
I think the criteria of being a great import is also your character. Mm. You're a great ball player, and then you have a great character. That is Brownlee.
Yeah.
Because we have, I remember this story with Brownlee. We're 0-3 from the start. Our import is Ivan Johnson and
the tall guy with
Jimmy Okura.
How was it playing with Ivan Johnson?
Oh man, he's.
You played with him, right?
I just heard the stories. Yeah.
There's a game where we lost with Hong Kong with Stan Hardinger.
Stan Hardinger. We lost
with Stan Hardinger because Stan Hardinger doing physical work with him.
Uh-huh.
And then we lost.
Getting in his head.
And then in the locker room, he's butt naked and shouting, "Yo, guys, pussy!" And they said, "What?" And no one's looking at him because he's butt naked. And so he's shouting to us, and then we're like,
"I know you. You was looking."
You did. You picked a peek and looked up.
And said, "Yo, guys, pussy! You're not playing. You're not helping." And then that's why after our third game, they got replaced. And then the replacement is Balkman and Brownlee from Boss Al. Because Boss Al told Brownlee to play for us.
Yeah.
For San Miguel Alam Pilipinas, right? And the story with
combination,
Brownlee.
That's a good combination, man.
Yeah, it is.
That's a good combination.
Yeah, the story of Brownlee, we're eating somewhere in a street food wherein there's no air condition. It's noisy and stuff like that. He ate with us.
Yeah,
that's cool, man.
Right, so that's why I thought, you're a paid big, and then you're coming with your teammate, even though you don't like the ambience and stuff. So
I mean, that's why I know. Man, we've had imports that like they'll see the food and be like, even if it just looks weird, right? They'll be like, no.
Yeah,
they won't even try. Justin ain't like that, bro.
He's crazy. He really is. He's really like. He treats the person that barely plays, it doesn't play at all, the same way as the next star player. Like, he does not have a prima donna attitude at all.
He treats the ball boy the same way he treats the head coach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's rare to find. You know who else was like that? Paul Harris. You played with Paul. Yeah.
Paul Harris,
who Justin replaced.
And he tore his thumb, right?
Yeah.
No, Paul's a good dude, too.
He's a great human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, to piggyback on what we were saying with JJ, do you have a moment in the PBA? Because you won a championship your first year in the league, right?
Rookie of the year too, right?
I think that's it. The most memorable game I had in the whole PBA career is the game 4 of my rookie year All-Filipino. Game 4. So, meaning game 4, we swept Alaska.
Oh, that was Alaska.
That was Alaska.
That's why I knew.
Okay.
Coach Tim said, if you can't beat them,
that's why you get traded.
Right? Coach Tim said, I can't beat Pure Poods. I will join them. Yeah. So he goes to Pure Poods.
Kevin Durant.
And then traded me. That's why I'm sad. And then that game 4, I thought I'm going to be the finals MVP.
Ooh.
Damn.
That would have been crazy.
Who got it?
James,
probably. I'm
James, PJ, or
I'm praying to God, now please don't give it to me because James Shep will get mad at me.
James won it?
James won it.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you deserved it over James?
Who, the MVP? No, I don't want it.
No, but did you feel like you deserved it?
Final MVP?
Yeah, be honest.
No. Honestly, I don't want it.
No, but did you deserve it? Did you play well enough to say, hey, I could?
Yes.
You're in the running. Okay.
For that game only.
Oh, just one game?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't deserve it.
You didn't deserve it in one game.
You had to ball out for the whole series.
For the whole series, I contributed.
Yeah, but if you only had one good game,
you ain't getting
the MVP.
The game 4, but I also contributed.
What'd you end up with? What'd you get that game 4?
Double-double, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Weak.
Hey, talk about this.
You
don't deserve MVP, Rico.
You know my
this message.
The one up, I'm the third stringer though. So I won the rookie of the year as a third stringer.
That's crazy.
That's gonna be an accomplishment.
Did you get sixth man of the year too?
No.
Did they have Sixth Man of the Year at that time?
I don't think so. Back then? I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah, but I don't, yeah, they didn't. Hey, talk about the where you went viral. Where were you viral? Where your shoe fell off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, tell that story.
You know, the story about it is I am the first one, or I am the only one. All right? I think this is fact.
To recordable.
No, no, no. Yeah, I am the only one who got fined without any pen, any
like fight.
With the call rep, the rep of the call.
Without it being
technical or
there was no call. It was a play on.
It was a play on.
It's a good defense because it's play on.
Tell the story what happened so people know what we're talking about.
So I took a layup and went in. And then my shoe fell off. And then I took it while holding my hand, playing defense. And then, of course, if the opponent knew you have no shoes, they're going to attack you.
Right? Yeah.
So, all right, let's do this. And then I'm holding my shoes. And then Arwin's the holding. That's my former team before I transferred to Barako Bull.
Yeah.
So they knew me. They know I'm a fan guy. So I'm using my shoes, playing defense. And then Arwin isolated, going to the court, going to the rim. And then he passed it to the import. To Gabby Spinas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then Gabby Spinas picked the ball. And then our import, Liam McMaro, jumped. So I have no choice though. If your teammate jump, you need to help.
Yeah.
So I had our import, and then I used my shoes blocking the ball.
he blocked the shot with his shoe, bro.
You know why it's funny? Because when the shoe hit the board, it's loud. you can, and then when the shoe hit the board, it's bam.
Of course, man.
And then everyone, all of my teammates jump and stuff, and
that's funny.
It's a good defense. For me, it's a good defense.
It's smart.
Why will the commissioner fine me for 20,000 pesos?
Who is the commissioner then?
Salud, right?
Yeah, Chito Salud.
Chito Salud.
Yeah, why will you fine me if I play good defense? And why will you fine me if your referee don't know what to call?
Yeah, he didn't call technical, yeah.
Exactly, so that's a good defense. So I'm proud.
How much was the fine?
20,000.
What?
For that.
Oh, that's wild. That's different.
Oh, yeah, right.
I was thinking it'd be like a fine for like a technical.
So the next day, I was called up. So, of course, it's time consuming. You need to go to the office of the commissioner. And then he asked me, why did you do that? Why are you making fun of our basketball, you know? And then I said, "Pom." I told him this specific word. Why will you fine me if your referee don't know what to call? They're the one supposed to be learning what's the rules.
Yeah.
I'm the player. I just want to play. Right?
Yeah. So, you're just playing off instincts.
Yeah. So I use my shoes because I thought that is the right thing to do. But of course, you know, you cannot do that.
Rigo, man, let's get back. Well, hold on, man. Let's get back on track here. You're the one who really like kind of brought together, you know, the PBA Moto Club. And I'm curious about this. What's the purpose of why you guys are making content and doing what you guys are doing, like having these charity games? What are you guys using it as a bridge for?
Jay.
No, he asked you. Good.
You know the answer, though.
I know the answer, man. We just wanted to have, we got this platform now.
Yeah.
And we wanted to... Not to be a role model or anything, but just to do something good with it, you know? So it wasn't planned or anything. It's just, the first charity that we did was
Mavs.
No.
Orphanage.
The orphanage in Lipa that we were supposed to go to. And again, he didn't go. Yeah. He was invited.
We're not your priority.
Busy.
How did that start? Yeah. How did that even come about? Like, man, we should just do this thing for the orphanage.
It was just something that we just wanted, like our group to just to, like I said, just to do something good, man. It wasn't nothing serious, but after we did it, we were like, damn, man. It felt good, bro.
To give back.
It feels good. And people supported it. So we're like, yo, let's just do this more often because we have a platform. And I'm sure people will support it and we'll be able to, you know, help out more people. So that it just went on from there.
Ah, that's dope, man. That's cool what you guys are doing. I know you say that you guys aren't trying to ideally be a role model, but you guys kind of are. The way you guys are building and the things that you're doing, I see it from a bird's eye view of how much value you're giving people out there. And I mean, that's a large part of the reason why we started Let It Fly. Like, you guys are doing so much cool stuff. It's like, man, we want to be like y'all. So I mean,
appreciate that, man.
And keep leading the way, man, because that shit is dope.
It's just, the thing is, we just want to like put out good vibes, man.
Yeah.
Like, all this negativity that's going on, you know, with a guy like Rico, he's just always happy.
Yeah.
He's always got jokes. Always, it's hard to like be around this guy and be in a bad mood.
Yeah.
So that's why me and him. That's why we got so close, man. It's just, we're like, you know, he's basically like my brother now, man.
That's dope.
But yeah, that's our goal, is just really to help others and put out content that can inspire others. Now, we didn't even know, man, that we got like little kids watching us.
Yeah.
Man. That's why I told Rick, you got to watch what you say, bro.
Yeah.
Because there's like little kids that go to the shop, man. They know, like, you know, they know us by name. They're like 4 years old, five years old. Like, wow. amazing. And we're like, yo, Reese, we got to be careful.
See what I mean? See what I'm saying, man?
Like, that really blew up. Yeah. And it's funny because the first videos that we put out, it was just Rico doing the whole self-editing of what DJI, right? With the music. And
yeah, there's no editing. We just put everything. And then, you know, George's, like,
if you said something, it's going to be on YouTube.
It would just push it out.
Put it on this thing and then put it on.
Transfer.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then you started getting a little better at it.
Yeah, so we got bash. We got haters and stuff. So we learned from them.
Yeah.
So that's a criticism. That's a constructive criticism. We take it as a something to learn for. So in our club, the most memorable charity work we did is with you guys. Remember with the Mavs team?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So everyone wants to fill in. So that's why we know for a fact that all of us, the whole PBA players, we will be united for this PBA Moto Club.
And the crazy thing was, we didn't even invite anyone. Everyone volunteered.
They were calling you.
Yeah, they were like, yo, we want to be a part of this. Like, man, yo, this is crazy. Everyone's volunteered. They wanted to help us with, you know, with the charity. And we ended up raising almost $1 million, man, for the Children's Cancer Hospital in QC. So amazing, man.
And then from there, it's like, now we're doing tours. Well, you guys, I haven't joined you guys yet.
Read the group message.
No invite.
Your priority.
talk a little bit about that, too, though. Those world tours and how that's going. Yeah,
going to Canada. And
that's so dope.
And so fun, man.
I saw there was a couple, you know, times where guys are getting in scuffles. So these games are pretty intense.
No, they want to beat us, bro.
Are they?
They want to beat us. They built their team, and they even had imports. And that thing was, we went 7-0. Oh. Old guys.
Yeah. Small flex right there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Damn, bro. Where have you guys gone so far? How many places have you gone? And what's next after that?
We have our domestic and international. Yeah. From international standpoint, we have New Zealand, Canada, Dubai, Bahrain. We are pending on UK.
Yeah, we're in UK in April.
We also have Australia. So you want to join? Or what?
Am I being invited right now?
You're being invited right now.
We're going to invite you. You want to be special.
Because guys are asking me, like, hey, how come you haven't been on PB Moto Club? I'm like, well, they replaced me.
We have a group chat, and Saul is part of the group chat.
And then you're not.
He chooses not to read it.
You're not even putting smiley face there. Emoji, just put emoji so you know you can read it.
Nah.
But we are muted, so we are.
No, that's not true. Right? Hey, you have my word. On the next tour, I'm going.
Ooh,
really?
Next tour, right now.
Right, we'll I commit.
I'm on the next tour.
Right.
Hey, but you guys, we just opened up a PBA headquarters. Talk about how that came to fruition and where that started.
Go ahead, man.
Go ahead.
So basically, man.
Rico, please.
Yeah.
Please. All right. So
thank you.
Come on. By using the YouTube funds, you know, we all know that YouTube has, you can create funds in YouTube, right? And then it's not enough. I mean, of course, the viewers and stuff, the viewing, you can have funds. But after the event in National Children's Hospital with the children with cancers, we all cried out because, you know,
damn,
they will fight for it, right? The children. And then that's the scenario we're in. What we're creating in YouTube is not enough. The funds is not enough.
Yeah.
So I think we can create this headquarters wherein we can create more funding. So we can ask for sponsors because we already gonna have our podcast area. So we have our jersey wherein PBA Moto Club jersey is the bestseller stuff though. So we can create funds by, you know, putting for making it as a business side. So that's the way. That's the PBA Moto Club way of creating more funding. And then after that, because last year we just created what, two, three times na charity work. So this year we decided to create at least 12 every month. 12 charity works. So we don't know if the PBA organization will be proud of us for by doing this. We don't know. And it's up to them. For them to be proud of us because we are not obsolete. We can still help.
Yeah.
Maybe in a small way or a big way, but here in our world, small help, big help, it's still help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Facts,
the thing is with our club, we all represent the PBA because we're all ex-PBA players, right? Exactly. Well, now we even have guys that never played in the PBA that are part of the crew that are really committed. But we represent a league that we all came from, that we got our names from, right? And gave us this platform to be able to do this. And so what the PBA Moto Club represents now is being able to give back to the community and reach the people and hear what they want.
Exactly.
Rather than it be anything in a negative way. Like Jay said, it's something positive. We want to give back. We want to do the charities and raise funds for these guys. You had an amazing PBA headquarter opening, right? What did you say? You guys closed the street, right? I saw you. There was like a certificate from the street saying like this is all going to be, these roads are going
to
be closed.
Yeah, we had to get a permit, man.
Permit, yeah.
So it was legal.
Yeah.
Damn.
We have a support. But
we didn't think it was going to turn out like that, the way it did, man. It turned out, it went on until like 11 o'clock that night, man.
How many people showed up, would you say?
Man, I have no idea, man. But maybe 500.
Wow.
And it's a small area, but.
And you guys had food and. Yeah, and
it was all sponsored too. So shout out to all the sponsors, man.
That's dope. That's the way to do it, man.
Dope, dope.
It was dope, man.
That's.
It turned into a street party.
That's crazy.
You know, so. You know why PBA Moto Club became a platform, it became successful? Maybe some organization or association can learn from PBA Moto Club.
Yeah.
I'm not bragging, but I think this PBA Moto Club became successful because we listen to the people, for the crowd, for the fans.
Yeah.
Because they know what they want. And if we listen for what they want, you will also be successful as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's the way on how to make success, to make something successful.
Yeah, because we get our content by reading the comments.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, that's smart. Yeah.
Of what they want to hear. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we do the same thing. We see of who people want to see on our next guest, and because when you're creating content, if you're creating. Playing a basketball game is creating content, putting a platform of people playing a game that people want to see. You want what the fans want to see.
Exactly.
Not what you want to control, right? Exactly. It's like, hey, what the fans want to see out there is competition, disparity of the league. You know what I'm saying? They want this type of stuff from their eyes, you know, and you guys adjust to what that is. We do the same thing. Yeah. What back then you played in like the golden era of the PBA, bro. Right? Like, what's the difference between now and then? From when I played, when we played, I played towards the end of your career. We were teammates towards the end of your career.
Yeah.
I used to bust your ass early on in your career.
Don't believe that.
Always says that.
Don't believe that. 30 points and we win. Anyways.
They would win, but we had some epic battles.
We did. I would have 30, though.
Well, I mean,
and I'd have 35.
But we win. That's
what I'm saying. But the people who don't know this, like, back then, like, games are sold out. Yeah. Whether you're Hinebra or not, if it's a second game, yeah, it's still packed. Pretty packed, no matter what team you are.
Yeah.
And so for the younger generation that's watching PBA now, you come to these games, you know, it's empty seats right now. Like, what is it? What is it that's going on?
When we was playing, bro, you didn't know who was going to win the championship.
Mm.
Anyone could win the during our time, Red Bull was winning.
Mm-hmm.
Rain or Shine.
Air 21 got one, yeah.
So the teams were really balanced, man. I think the difference is now, PBA now is...
You know who's going to be there.
You know who's going to... Yeah, you know who's going to be in the finals more than likely, man. So, and also, a lot of our superstars are in other leagues. They're in Japan, Korea.
Right.
So that takes away from the mystique of the PBA. So
yeah, we talked about this on a Coast to Coast session. We talked about me, him, and Gabe. We talked about, like, even when we had LA on here, he brought up the same thing. Like, who's the stars of the league now? Who's the face of the league? Right now, who's the face of the league?
Scotty.
Junmar.
That's for Hinebra. Junmar. Is there anybody that doesn't play for Hinebra that's face of the league? Like, you know?
Honestly, man, there's a lot of players I don't even know their names in the PBA right now.
Right.
So. And before, you would know.
Yeah, before, it was automatic.
You knew.
Was that marketing, or was more people watching the games to know? I think
it was both, man.
Both, a little bit of both, yeah.
I think it was both.
Yeah. I mean, it's not balance. What do you call it?
There's a lot of other things but
disparity.
What's the proper word if it's not balance?
Unbalanced.
I even watched your guys' games in the league that you're playing in, the PSL. Yeah.
They cracking?
Yo, crowded, bro.
How is it, bro? Like, I mean, I haven't played in it. I don't see it too much from my own little, you know, things that I watch. How are those leagues, man? Like, in terms of the skill level,
competition, bro. I mean, as guards wise,
yeah.
There's not a lot of big guys there that are super dominant, but you know, far as guards, it's a heavy guard-oriented league. And we got ballers out there, man.
Filipinos can ball.
We got a couple of guys on our team, man. That could be in the PBA right now.
Easy, too, right? Man.
Well, there's some ex-PBA guys that are going in there, too, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of... Next year, the MPBL, there's no more limit on PBA players.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's dope.
But I also saw some, man, and this is some... I got offered many times to play in the MPBL.
Yeah.
For me, it was the game selling. That came out about that.
Is that real
and the things that were they already had issue, a bunch of sanctions.
I saw that.
They got 47 players.
They got banned and all that. It's like, the game has been so good to me that I couldn't play in something that was that obvious in a league. It was like, man, that's what really turned me off. But it seemed like, now I don't know if it's a new commissioner or whatever, but it seemed like they're cleaning it up now.
Yeah, they're trying to. But my thing was, I feel you. Same thing. But I made sure that I was on a team that, with a boss that had the same
mentality
that we're here to win. We're not here to, you know, sell games. You know, our boss, you know, shout out Boss Bonching. His whole thing is just to help these players get to the next level. We got like 30 players on our team, bro.
We're
30. Damn. We're like a football team.
And his whole 31? Thing,
that's much. But his whole thing is just to help these players develop and go to you know, the PBA, wherever, Japan, wherever. He just wants to help these players to better themselves and have the opportunity to play pro basketball at a high level. And that's why they got us, was basically to mentor, to help them, you know, give them, you know,
guidance.
Those guys are so lucky to have like Rico and JJ as a mentor.
I mean, we got KG on our team.
That's crazy, bro.
Macardona's on our team.
Carlo
Lastimosa.
Wow.
Jonathan Gray.
Yeah, man.
Jonathan Gray.
That's crazy.
On our team.
See,
man. That's the thing about Philippine basketball, man. The talent is like, you have all these leagues.
Underrated.
Weird.
The thing is, like, PBA has the opportunity to like have all this talent. And maybe even add a few more teams and have like it way more balanced. right? One thing I like about what the NPBL does, and we talked about this, would be dope if the PBA did it, is it's all representative of provinces, right?
Yeah. Home and away.
Home and away. You have actual people that are invested. Because, yeah. I mean, who's invested in Talking Text besides the employees? You know what I'm saying? Now, but if you say, hey, this is Ta-Gig Talking Text. Yeah. Now it's like, oh, shoot, I'm representing Ta-Gig. Like, all the people from Ta-Gig come and support. That's why you guys get crowds that are crazy. That could be something that...
First time I got booed.
You were? That's so...
Like, first time ever. You played for it never. Yeah, yeah, it's never basically home court every time.
Every time, yeah.
Facts. I went to NBBL, man. They were trash-talking me.
Damn.
I was like, what the... I thought y'all was NSD. I was like, hold on, this NPBL. So
yeah, because it's like that's where you're born and raised. Like they take pride in it.
Man.
Yeah,
they take pride in it.
That sounds fun, bro.
It is fun, bro.
That sounds fun.
They're really onto something, man. If they could,
like you said, they just got to control the selling of the game.
Control all that, and then you get a cap to where you can bring in bigger name players that want to play. Maybe rather than going to Japan, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's so much money here. If we can do state-of-the-art different facilities, practice facilities and gyms and all that.
Imagine the PBA, PSL, and NPBL
got together
and was like, yo, let's just make a super league.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Remember that
FA Cup style?
Forget the politics, come together, because that's how it is. We talked about that with football, soccer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In Europe, that they have different cups of the leagues coming together and doing that. It's East Asian Super League is doing that with... You know, all the teams in Japan and all that.
Oh, that would be so sick.
One of the things that even Jay Wash told me is what separates. This is pretty crazy. He told me this. He played 17 years in the PBA, right? 17, 18 some years. He played in Japan. He said his 1 year in Japan is the first time he felt like a pro. Wow. And that's not a knock on a PBA. It's just because he played for great organizations, Talking Tech, San Miguel Beerman. It's just, he said, when he walks into these state-of-the-art facilities and he has his own locker with his name lit up, jerseys there, you know what I'm saying? It's like they have their own practice facility that goes into their own arena. That's just sick. A different level. But we have the funds to do that here as well, right? Like, don't you think if we had something like that, you think these guys would be going over to Japan?
When we're playing.
So you seen his Nebra's practice facility
today? Yeah, exactly. That's pretty dope. They got a stadium.
That's dope.
Yeah. It's nice.
But in the game,
they had that in our time.
Right. So, it's dope.
In the game,
I'm not going to lie.
Did you ever have a reserve parking for you?
Nope.
Oh, yeah. You pay for your parking, right?
Pay for your parking at the game, bro.
Yeah. Come on. In the NBA, you have your own parking. You have your name on it. And then no one can get you nearby you, right?
No, that's true.
So you're protected, right?
Yeah.
So when we're playing in Enebra, before I remember, when I'm playing in Enebra, I go inside the parking. You'd be late
trying to find parking, bro.
Yes, for sure.
Inside, I go to the parking lot, and then I said, hey, can I park there? And then someone the guard said, oh, this is reserved for
the commissioner.
And I said, if there's no commissioner... we can still play, right? But if there's no player, there's no game.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So I said, sorry, sir. All right, so I go out because it's full pack. There's no parking.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be late.
The
player will be late for the game day because you have no parking.
No, it's real.
You know how we feel? Are we important here?
That's just a small...
Those are small details. Right?
Small details.
Make them feel like a professional that will keep players here rather than going overseas, bro. We have so much talent here. It's like, keep your people here. Take care of them.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Take care of your home base.
Take care of the players.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That'd be something.
For sure. I mean, even you guys, we're all retired PBA players besides this guy. It's like, but when you retire... You want to set yourself up, you know, like you've done with PBA Moto Club. You still represent the PBA, no matter if...
Oh, no, we're never going to...
We love PBA.
It's not like, we're hating on it, man. We want PBA to succeed. We want it to be like...
Our livelihood.
The time that we were, like, back in the day, PBA was the number one league in Asia. Right?
Yeah.
That's where we want to get it back to. We're just trying to give our opinions, our inputs, and hopefully, like, they don't take it the wrong way. But more often than not, they do. And it's not our mentality to do that, man. We just want to help out and
Would you be open to start like a players association?
Like a union?
Because someone like you, you two guys, people would follow you guys. Would you? Would that be something you'd be interested in?
I'm more of an assistant type guy, man.
but maybe like not to lead it, but to support it, to how start about something.
You want to be the president?
No, I'll pass. But the thing is, the way that we represent the PBA, right? Whether we're retired or not, that league represents us as well. It goes both ways. Yes. What they put out there, the product they put out there, people look at us and say, "That's the league you played in." This is people from back home. They're like, exactly, watching the games, a championship game, and it's not barely any crowd. It's like, that's the league that you're playing. It's like,
it's a bad look,
we both represent each other. So of course we want them to be better. It's the same way, you know what I'm saying, that they want us to represent them well, right? But I think one of the things we've talked about this for years was a players association, right? Big time. Players association is, we've talked about Jimmy being head of it when he was here, LA Tenorio. We need people to come together, but it's so hard because it's not a players league. It's an owner's league.
Yes.
Right? The NBA is a players league. These other leagues are players leagues, right? But this is an owner's league, so it's hard.
That's why we get like ex-pros to kind of lead it so they don't feel like they're tied into their company that they're playing for. And with your guys is, I mean, I'm not trying to push it on you guys, but like everyone knows you guys. Everyone respects you guys. To do something like that, I'd be crazy.
Anything to help the PBA would be great, man.
Well, the players union, you call that players union, right?
Yeah.
It will work if all the players will be supporting each other. Yeah. As in we're united, we're bonded. The whole players. Because remember in the NBA where there's a lockdown, all the players signed.
Yeah.
Signed up.
Yeah.
So this will happen if all the players united.
Mm.
There's, of course, your superstar, your role player.
Yeah.
Even the utility guys, they can be part of it. Because, of course, they can say something about it. So that's the only way it worked. But if the superstars won't join in, then there's no players union. Because there's the one.
You got to get the big dogs.
The players union gives the players a voice, right? So with the CBAs and the what are they, collective bargaining agreements with the NBA, I want to ask every one of you guys, you're the head of players union, the PBA players union. What's the first thing that you want to implement that you feel like the players need in the PBA? Go. I want to start with you, JD.
I would say a pension.
You're a current player.
Pension for the ex-pros. I would really love to see something like that because these guys give so much to the game that the people don't know. Like these guys they're taking painkillers. They're doing so much to give. Mm-hmm. And when it's all said and done, a lot of us are limping and like walking zombies to some extent. So I think to have some sort of pension that these guys kind of get back some of these reparations for so much that they give back to the league would be great.
How many years would you say until that pension kicks in? Like how many years would you have to
play
the PBA?
I would say six. I would say 6 years. And from there, you'll get like some type of percentage based on
how many years you played.
Yeah. So longer years, bigger percentage.
Okay. Jay, that was a good one.
Damn. I would maybe get a vote to be able to take away the farm teams.
Mm. Mm.
So that the teams would be more balanced and the trading would be more balanced. Because you don't want to, like, the best team in the league is getting the number one player in the draft eventually after 1 year or 2 years.
Yeah.
It ruins the league, man.
Yeah.
And it gives no chance for the lower teams to come up and become, to be able to compete.
Competitive, yeah.
And that, I think for me, that's why it's so boring to watch now because of that.
Yeah. They even put in a trade committee, right? Mm-hmm. But then these trades are still
Unbalanced. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're making stronger teams, the stronger teams even more stronger.
Stronger, yeah.
So you basically have an all-star team.
Yeah.
like on the top four teams. So,
and that's why you say it's like, you know, who's going to be at the end.
Exactly.
Right. It was actually pretty nice to see this past conference, Phoenix.
Phoenix, yeah.
Phoenix make a push, was in the final four, right? They're in the semifinals.
Yeah.
And I think that excited a lot of people. It was like, yo, we have an independent team here battling against, you know, the San Miguel's and the Smarts, you know, which is pretty cool. How about you, Rico?
Parking. hey, come on. Don't laugh about it, man.
For real. It's true. Yeah. It's true.
You know, really true.
You know, he got triggered. Yeah.
It is. You know, then after the game, walk into your car.
Exactly.
You know, going to the game, and then you're going to, you know, thinking about the game, you know, who's your opponent, you have your scouting report and stuff, and then you're going to have a problem of your parking lot.
You ain't wrong.
So I will ask for the league to give 30 slot per team.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You can put your name on there, you know, not just for the governor, because the game will start without the governor.
Yeah.
But the game won't start without the players, right?
Yeah.
So,
100%, man.
You put 30 parking slots, we're all good.
Right? It's true. I couldn't agree with you more.
What about you, Saul? What do you think?
Oh, you put it back on me.
Yeah, please.
I would like the opportunity for an expansion to happen, an expansion of
more
the team,
teams,
and there to be more transparency of actual cap.
Salary cap.
Just like the NBA. I would like to increase the salary cap to say, hey, if this is the best league in Asia, and you're getting the best players, make the salary, do like baseball, bro. You know, but when you do that, then obviously you have the guys with more money, like the Yankees bringing in the best players, right? But not exactly like baseball where there's no salary cap. I would say more so just increase the salary cap to where now these other independent teams could get bigger time players, you know what I'm saying? And be a more balanced team. I would say transparency in that. But, I mean, that's a long way from happening, but it has a possibility if we can do, like you said, if they can combine forces, we could actually have one of the best leagues again in all of Asia. Do the province, represent the provinces. You could still have the commercials of the team owners of saying San Miguel to gig, whatever. You're still representing the product or the company. But then you're attaching a province to it.
I think if that would happen, if a team would call you up, would you play again?
Depending if I would have to leave Manila. Like if I play for Manila or like Taguig or something, then yeah, cool. But if they're like, hey, come to, you know, you got to go to Davao and play for the Davao.
No, even the Davao teams, they all practice here in Manila, man.
Oh, and then
the games are just there.
Okay. Yeah. I think I would. I think it would be something exciting to get excited about. Would you?
I'm already doing it.
Yeah, right. But if the PBA called and was like, hey, we're doing something different. We want you to come and represent this team and be a leader and a captain.
Man, as much as I love basketball, man, just to be a part of any team, man, I would do it. Yeah.
Because your heart's always with the PBA, right?
No doubt.
Cool, man. Have you ever thought of going into coaching when you're done?
Nah, man, because I still like to play, man. As far as maybe in the future. I never really thought about it, man, because I'm just still...
You like LeBron, bro. Man. You like LeBron.
But what I will tell you, bro, what I noticed in the NPBL and the PSL is the disparity of coaching from PBA to the lower leagues is so far, bro.
Really?
What do you mean? Like the coaches?
The levels.
Yeah, the level is...
The strategy, the rotations.
PBA coaches are way more advanced and more knowledgeable than the lower leagues. And I think that's why we have such a drop off when it comes to like younger kids knowing how to play this game. It's not being taught. Like, for example, first time I played in the PBL, they didn't know what the shell drill was. We did a shell drill and they didn't know what the shell drill was.
Wow.
Something basic.
The coach didn't know shell drill?
No, the players didn't know.
Uh-oh.
They weren't being taught. And NPBL is considered a professional league.
Yeah.
And for players that are considered professional not to know what a shell drill is,
Wow.
It says something about the coaching under, you know, in the lower leagues. Yeah. So it's the gap is huge, bro.
Yeah. Do you think the PBA needs some fresh, like, ex-players as coaches? So, because the evolution of the game is different. Like, the game has evolved, right? There's a different type of evolution that has happened in our game from the old-time coaches to now new blood.
We still got the same coaches, too.
You have the same coaches, bro, from my first... The same ones. From me stepping in my first... Probably from you as well, right? It's the same coaches.
Same.
But that's what I'm saying, though. There's no other coaches that are able to take their spots. You get what I'm saying?
Ex-players. That's what I'm saying. Ex-players.
Yeah, but they don't have the experience or the knowledge.
Why not? Wait, look at the Jason Kidds. Look at the guys in the NBA.
Who do you think can do that?
Me? Besides me?
I think you would be a great coach.
L.A. Tenorio.
He's still playing, though.
I'm saying you give him opportunity to say, hey, L.A.
L.A.'s going
to
be the next
boss. No, retired coaches or retired players. Who do you think would be a good coach?
Joe DeVance, I think, would be a great coach. Jimmy Alapag, obviously.
He's already in the NBA. He's not going to go from the NBA to come out here and coach.
I know.
Mark Aguiwa?
No. Hell no.
Hell no. Mark
you know. Willie Miller?
Hey.
Willie Miller. Daniel DeFonso, right? He could be one. But he already is a coach.
He's an assistant coach.
I think he's more like a player's development coach, ain't he?
How about Jeff Cariasso?
He's coaching already.
Yeah, I know. But you played with him, right? How was it playing for a guy that you competed against?
I actually thought Jeff was a great coach, bro.
Yeah, but how is that, though? Because, like, you competed against this dude, and you're probably older than him, right? Are you older than Jeff?
He was playing in 95, so I came in 2000.
My bad.
No, man. Jeff, I think, is a really, really good coach. I actually enjoyed playing for him. Too bad we just had... misunderstanding.
Yeah.
He didn't really get a chance to coach the team, man. Because he was taken out prematurely.
Yeah. Do you think that was more so because it's like you get the opportunity to coach guys that you compete against? Because I know him and Mark went at it a little bit, right? Because it's like I competed against this guy.
Just misunderstanding, bro. Miscommunication.
Yeah.
It wasn't because, I played against this guy. He can't teach me nothing.
Right.
It wasn't that at all, man.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. Mark would be a horrible coach.
He would.
you know who's a great coach? And then I play against him. I remember guarding him because when I'm playing, I can be wingman to big man, right? So alternating.
Wow, all over.
So the usual pick and roll, I switch.
Yeah.
So the coach let me switch because I can
guard defend, a guard.
Guard. I played against Coach Jimmy Alapag. And then he became my coach in ABL and we won championship. So I think he's a great coach.
Jimmy's an amazing coach. I think he's the next big thing from Philippine coaching.
Yeah, that's true.
I would love to see him coach the national team here. And
imagine the experience that he's getting right now.
And then he brings it back
amazing,
here.
Amazing, man.
That'd be crazy. Yeah.
Hey, you guys, real quick, stream Let It Fly in Epic Live Sports for free on the Smart Livestream app. Watch PBA, UAAP, FIBA games, and more available to all networks. Download it now on the Apple App Store or Google Play or watch via web browser on smart.com.ph/livestream. Now back to the regular program.
All right, so what we have on, and I'm sure you guys seen this on our show, we do a Let It Fly segment. We do give you an opportunity to have a safe word. Because we do get, you know, down to some things that you might not want to answer.
How many do you get? Unlimited?
One safe word. And you can use it. You can use it as many times as you want. All right. Which we hope you don't. but we've had one person that was like, no, I don't need a safe word.
L.A.
Tenorio. And then we got down to the question. He was wishing he had a safe word. And it was like, he took forever to answer one question. So give us your safe word now so we know.
Amazing.
Amazing, of course.
Sounds about right. All right, so we're going to start. You want to start it off?
Go ahead. Well, I'll do the first five, right? Yep, okay. You guys can answer like right when you think of something. You guys don't have to wait
shots.
On who does it. All right, so who owns the best motorbike on the PBA Moto Club?
JJ.
Me, I guess.
Yeah.
It's humble though.
Okay. What would be a dream collaboration for PBA Motor Club for the vlog? Who's the next person, company, entity that you would want to? Yeah.
BMW.
Ooh. Boss Ramon ang.
Yeah, BMW. Ooh,
that'd be sick. Not Mr. Beast. What if y'all did a collab or Mr. Beast? That'd be crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Facts. Okay. This one's probably the easiest one. Who's the funniest member of the PBA Motor Club?
Rico.
That's easy.
Rico.
Yeah. That's probably.
Okay. Easy. All right. What member is most likely to get into a fight?
Sol.
On the tour.
Yeah. Sol Mercado.
Sol Mercado.
Okay.
Besides Sol. Mark Cardona.
Yeah, Mark Cardona.
You know,
y'all say that?
Is me and Mark Cardona played on the same team together? We would get into it, bro, with each other.
Yeah, you sure. And Mark?
Yeah, we were played on Morocco.
Sure. Oh,
yeah, we had moments where we
me and Mark got into it too, my rookie year.
Yeah, we had moments where we and him were gonna throw on.
Mark is intense, man.
Yeah, we're both kind of alphas. Yeah, so.
Okay, I got one more and then we'll pass it on to Saul. Who's always late for all the rideouts?
G.
Gerard Yu.
Damn, that was quick.
Every single one.
I want to talk about that after this. We'll just play.
Shout out to you, Gerard.
G.
Which member of the Moto Club breaks traffic rules the most?
Sol Mercado.
That is true. It really is true.
Here we go. This is what I hate about riding. Who is the most overrated player in the PBA? Ooh. Today. Ooh. Or you can go in your time. In your time, who was the most overrated player?
Mark Aguila. He knows that. I tell him that all the time.
First thing
that comes to mind.
Come on, man. Come
yeah.
on. Has to be fast.
Or you can use your safe word.
Overrated.
Come on.
Amazing.
All right. Who would win in a one-on-one tournament within the Moto Club?
One.
Sol Mercado. Go ahead.
Matic.
Sol Mercado. Just say it.
That would be me.
Me and him talking about it all the time. What on what? About me and him playing one on one.
Yeah. Yeah. You agree? It's Jay.
Who you say?
They can fight each other though. Until now. we can create content. With you guys playing.
What's your answer?
I would love to see that.
Who would win?
I would love to see
that. Who would win?
I would pay to see that.
Who would win?
Between them.
JJ.
Yeah.
Which you're not with us all the time. That's why I choose JJ. But I want to see that.
I like it.
I want to see that.
I like it.
I would pay to see that.
Hey, who would want to see it? If you want to see it, get in our comments. We get enough comments. Maybe me and Jay put together something.
Two 40-year-olds playing
one. Get a little one-on-one. I'm not 40. These guys are 40. You can only choose one. Bike or basketball?
Bike or basketball? Basketball.
Yeah, basketball.
Easy.
Last but not least, we're missing Gabe here, right? Usually Gabe is here and 10. But who would win a 3-on-3 game between the Moto Club and the Let It Fly crew?
Ooh.
Well, we have a lot more options. It's only three. You
get
guys,
your
right?
best three. Yeah. Get your best three against me, Gabe, and JD. Who would win? And Joe. We have Joe also.
Be sub.
Sub.
Who are you going to add up?
I would have to say PBA Moto Club.
Yeah. Who would you add on?
Who would you
have? I want to know.
Yeah, PBA
Moto Club. Who would it be?
I would guard you. JD, I know his back hurts.
Yeah, something always hurts with me, bro. I'm going to need some painkillers.
Nah, he's shooting up for this game.
I'm shooting up painkillers.
He's a shot.
Hey, so, you know KG is killing it?
KG.
KG's always been like
he
that.
He can be an MVP right now.
Yeah, he's nice.
He might get MVP and PSL right now.
Yeah.
Damn, that's so tight.
And Cardona's hooping still. We got a squad, man.
Yeah. So you would say KG, Mac, you?
Who would you put together?
Yeah, he's injured, so he can't.
Okay, so you? So
me, KG, Cardona.
Who's your son?
Pingris.
Would be...
Pingris?
Yeah, Ping.
Hey, man. I would love to see that. We got to play this. We got
to hear that?
It would be great.
He thinks that four would be right me, now, right? Me, Gabe, JD,
Saul,
and Joe.
We're talking about right now.
Right now.
Yeah, we're saying that chance.
Players playing in the PBA. Hey, Gabe and JD.
Me and Gabe.
And then you have Joe who plays every day with his kids.
We have Ping Rhys, defensive player.
Joe's going to cook Ping.
No way, man.
I'm going to cook Jay.
I will let you shoot that.
JD go cook.
We got JD. I mean, we got defense. Yeah. We're all long and
and then Gabe.
Switch everything.
Can you stop Captain Hook's?
Yeah. Gabe. I've seen Gabe block at many times, and I know him. All you do is keep him from his spin. Wait,
Gabe can't play. He's still keep playing
from
his spin.
I know. He's guard block in practice. He always like to go left, spin right to his hook. All you gotta do is stay on still that shoulder. So
you can't stop that. No.
It's pretty unstoppable. But if you keep him from going on his shoulder, he can't get to his hook.
It'll be one of those games that you're gonna need ice afterwards.
Yeah.
For sure.
We should set something like that up.
That would be dope. I would love to do a charity with that.
As long as I can.
3-on-3 tournament charity.
Yeah.
You guys are going to play 3-on-3. You know how hard that is?
Yeah, it's
crazy.
Just hard, go to 7.
Yeah, 3-on-3 is hard.
Just gotta take some painkillers, guys. It's all right.
Man, that's a lot harder than 5-on-5.
Something I wanted to ask, like, you guys bike so much and all the time. It's really a part of what you guys do. But what was the most memorable ride, you would say? Hard, easy, the best story? What would you say that is?
Toughest.
We'll start with Rico.
Well, the one with the Kalinga ride. It's a 10 hours ride. 10 hours.
10 hours.
How do you ride that long? Like, do you have to stretch out every couple hours? Like, hey, let's stop and
for sure.
Stretch out the legs. We didn't stop many times though.
3 times.
Yeah, imagine 10 hours, and we only stopped about 3. We have to stop to gas up. Yeah.
And for G.
And for Gerard.
Yeah. Remember this? So at first we went there early in the morning and then goes in the afternoon. So the heat wave from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m.
It's tough.
We catch it all. So the going back, we decided
nighttime.
And it's more harder though.
And it was raining.
We rode back to Manila from Kalinga. Back to Manila at nighttime. So it's like, and then it started raining on us.
And fog.
And it was how many of us? 1, 2, 3. Lamont.
And 4. Marcus.
Marcus and Gerard. So it's at, what's that? 6? Yeah. 7? Yeah. Crazy. And we were all, the thing with that is you always, when you're riding that at night, you always have to have great communication. So you have a leader in the front.
Yeah.
Which was usually, I was usually in the front. I would always be in the front. And then I would tell everybody, hey, car come in. Lights come in, pothole, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Oof. And then we just
so scary, bro.
Get it back.
For the whole 10 hours.
For 10 hours. But wasn't that the most beautiful ride when we went? Then we rode like another like hour or something to
Waterfalls.
It looked like Switzerland, bro.
It did.
Wow.
It was the most beautiful ride.
Yeah. I didn't even know that like place like that existed. Yeah. So if it wasn't for motorcycles.
That's dope.
And we always talk about that. So our experience. Riding motorcycles, you see more of the Philippines in a different light.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because you get to access different things that you wouldn't access by driving, right? We get to go on these different rides through these trails, and you get to see like the beautiful scenery. It's absolutely amazing. For me, when I have my son though, I don't know, obviously you have kids. When I had my son, I had to give up my bike. Like I sold my S1.
I noticed that in you, man. You chilled a lot.
Tone down.
You changed, man.
Only because, bro, you guys can vouch for this.
Yeah.
The bike I had, and I'm not going to lie, I was the craziest, fastest rider at all of us.
Yeah.
Like, I was always the one that's...
You were talking about that, Saul. Me
and a little BG. Bit stupid, Saul.
Really?
We're like, you're a little bit stupid.
Saul, he ain't riding the same.
You ride like crazy, man. Like,
I wonder what it was.
That's cool. And then, growing up, dog.
Yeah, bro. Because I was like, you know, my S1, you can't ride it slow. And I was like, always... like
one hand, too.
Sometimes no hands. And just stupid stuff, bro. And then by the grace of God, he had protected me. But once I had my son, I was like, I'm not just living for me no more. Yeah. And so I sold that. I'm wanting to get the new XR, though. Because it's a little... It still gives me that torque of my RR,
but then it's
more chill. That's what you got, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe when you sell it. You've had that bike the longest.
Yeah. You've been trying to buy that.
I know.
Pandemic.
I've been trying to buy it off of.
Well,
but yeah, that was a dope ride. Do you guys have any other rides that are long like that planned?
No, well, I didn't want to do that again.
We're planning to go to, I know, you should come. Puerto Galera, my hometown.
That's near.
That's easy. Yeah. That's when we take the boat, right?
Yeah, we're going to ride the Ro-Ro with our motorcycle, then chill on the top of the Ro-Ro, and then ride again, going to the resort.
That's wow. Cool.
But far as like a 10-hour...
Nope.
Never again.
Maybe max is 2 to 3 hours. Yeah, for... Man. Subic is nice, though. Right?
It's a good experience, like to experience it once, but after that,
yeah,
it was just too hard.
It was cool that we did it. How about LU? You've done that. That's easy, right?
Easy, man. That's only 2 hours.
Two hours, right?
We did it in 2 hours.
You guys must be
LU.
That's blazing.
Great. You guys driving like me.
No, there's no traffic on T-Plex.
Yeah.
Wow. 2 hours though.
That T-Plex is where I hit my max. Yeah. That one's crazy. Wow. Yeah.
How about Solano? Personal question for you. How about the Boss Ironman challenge?
Yeah. I ain't trying to do that.
No.
It's not fun anymore, right?
Not interesting.
That's an endurance challenge, though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure when you're done, you feel like really accomplished, but it doesn't.
Just too many people, man. Too many fatalities this year.
Doesn't.
But it's scary, though. I heard so many casualties and stuff.
Yeah. What would you say your message is for riders out there? Because we've seen, man, that's one of the things we've had people that we've ridden with before die.
Wow.
From riding. Yeah, you know, it's not anything to play with. You guys use a platform of riding to give back. But we don't want people thinking that this is something that we're a racing group or anything like that. What would be your message for the riders out there?
For new riders, if you can, man, take a class. Don't do what we did. Like, just go out there and learn how to fly.
Yeah.
Because basically my teacher was Saul. Because I used to...
Let it fly.
The worst teacher.
I used to follow him. But no, he was actually really good.
Nah, I'm probably the most... Advanced. I've been riding since I was like 18, so
that's dope. But you should take classes. Don't take it lightly, man. Because it ain't no game. It ain't no. You mess up on a motorcycle, and it could be game over.
Yeah, it could be.
Damn, and also make sure you got the right gear, man.
Yeah.
Don't cheap out on your helmets. I know helmets can get expensive, but out of all your gear, you can cheap out on everything, but not your helmet.
Yeah. What's your best helmet provider?
Number one for me is HJC.
Shout out HJC.
Number one.
Jason. Let's go. HJC.
I remember Mark Aguiwa was saying all the time, man. He always saying, don't ride your bike with your ego. What does that mean? I don't know. Can you explain that, sir?
Well, I mean, a lot of times when you're driving in a car, you get challenged by, especially here in Manila, traffic, you know, trying to get in and get to a place fast enough. So you got to cut people off and get in, you know, when you're on a bike, you can't challenge people with your ego like that. It's got to be egoless, got to be a defensive driver, being out there and actually always being aware. What I tell people when I'm riding, it's a weird sixth sense that I have. And I think every rider needs to have. You're predicting as you're riding, you're looking down and you're scanning. You're predicting this person changing lanes. Where's my exit if this person changed lanes?
Makes sense.
If this person is gonna, if there is an exit that's coming up, never ride on the right side because that person might say, "Oh, there's my exit," and veer into you. You know what I'm saying? Right. So those little certain things.
That, right?
Yeah, we've seen that before. That we've seen it happen. Man. So those little things as riders, like you have to learn those things. And that's what I would always try and teach when Gerard was telling me. I would always tell these guys, like, tell me so you know, like, where you could fit in and how to maneuver. Because part of being a good driver is being a confident rider, but not to be overconfident. Because then you think like, oh, I could fit here because I'm over. That's where I would push the limits. I would be overconfident, and by the grace of God, I was protected. But I would do stupid stuff. Like they said, I would do stupid stuff. So don't follow me what I do. But I got a little overconfident. But then once I had my son, I locked in. Okay. But what's your message? That's my message. What's your message for riders?
What you guys said.
Just going back to what you said about don't twist the throttle with your ego. It's like sometimes when you're in a big bike, what happens is, you get a underbone that passes you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, hell no. You get what I'm saying? we have a couple of riders that do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, chill. It's all right, man. You can let smaller bikes pass you. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Because they chase them down and trying to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn. Oh, I have up on them.
Yeah.
I have one. I have this thing. Ride with your own pace. Mm-hmm. So ride with your own skills.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you're in the group, there's gonna be someone fast, and then you don't want to get left behind, just like JJ before.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
And don't follow them. You have your own, you have your pawn. You can use your ways.
Yeah.
So whenever they go there, you get left behind. Let them go, because that's the time. I remember this also. Boss Ramon Nang. In the PBA, we have contract. You're supposed not to ride motorcycle. That's in the contract, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
Mm. But Boss Ramon, who owns a motorcycle company, allowed his player, but with one specific rule. He said to us, I remember this because we go to his event in BMW.
No racing.
He said, do not race. That's it. And you're all safe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like riding a car. If you race with your car, it's the same thing.
In danger, yeah.
Right? If you ride with your motorcycle, having your comfort and then scenery and stuff, you'll be good. So ride with your own pace.
All right. So to wrap this episode up, thank you again for coming. Usually I give flowers.
It's an honor, man.
I've given you guys plenty of flowers. You know how I feel about y'all and my brothers. We've been through a lot together, played in the PBL my first year. You're my teammate, you know, and going through battles and wars with you guys. You know, I love you. Thank you for coming on our show. We like to end our show with one question that we ask all our guests. We changed it up for season two, to get a little more personal and intimate. If there's one thing you could change about yourself or in the process of changing, what would it be?
That's a good question, man. First of all, I just want to say thanks, guys, for having us, man. I know we've been trying to do this for about 3 months now. Our schedule never matched, but yeah, happy to be here and to finally be able to do this. Something that I would change about myself would probably be... we talked about this in the car. Stop chismes.
Okay.
Less chismes. All right.
What I've noticed is that it ruins relationships. It ruins friendships. Has a way of snaking its way into your group, and the result is never good. Mm-hmm. So I told Rico, we had a long chat in the car. I was like, bro, let's stop, you know, talking about stuff that don't even matter with our group, things that it's none of our business.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Love that.
Yeah, man, just because it. We've been going through a lot of drama this past month, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of that. So yeah. It's just no good, man. Chismes is no good, guys.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, this is an English. What's chismes in English?
Just gossip.
Gossip.
Yeah.
That's gossip.
Yeah.
You know, there's a saying that goes, don't continue to sit at tables where they're talking about other people.
That are present. About you when
because
you
when
up.
You leave and get up, they're exactly. talking about you.
Exactly.
So yeah, man, that's dope. I like that a lot. Rico.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having us. PBA Moto Club, you represent as well, man.
Yeah.
Right? For me, what I'm gonna change is on how to handle the haters.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first, of course, you said this a while ago. This is supposed to be for fun only, and then mm-hmm. everyone supported it, and we created this from mm-hmm. the very beginning. It is destined to be like this, to be a platform of help, beacon of lights. I mean, source of what you call it.
Huh? Source of positivity.
Yeah, source of possibility, good vibes. But the more it bigger, the more, you know, people will hate us. Yeah. The more you say
the truth. That's how it is, bro. That's how it is.
Yeah, so the more you say the truth, the more some of the guys will hate you or bash you or stuff. Yeah. So for me, I want to change on how to handle it. Because before, supposed to, you know, talk back, you know, got mad at them. But for me, on my side right now, I'm trying to make all the negativity and transfer it to be positive.
Kill them with kindness. Yeah. Yeah, man. That's the way to go, man. Yes. Well said.
That's something I struggle with too. If you don't have haters, you're not doing something right. Yeah. Right?
That is obviously
so. It's good that you do have haters, because just like, again, I'm bringing him up, LeBron. You know, it's like he has so many haters because he's doing something that people have never seen before. And so it's like they want to bring that down. It's that crab mentality. It's like they want to bring you down because they're not happy within themselves. So you don't take it personal. You take it as, I'm going to pray for you because you got issues, obviously, with your life. If you want to come and hate on me, exactly. You know what I'm saying? What we're doing.
Teaching me.
Yeah.
Because, right?
The thing is with Rico, he wants everyone to like him.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's impossible. Right. Yeah. Not everyone's going to like you, man.
But how can you hate on a guy like Rico, man? Yeah. That guy is.
Easy. You talk too much.
Yeah.
Well, shoot, you guys. Man. It was such a great discussion with both of you guys today.
This was fun, man. Appreciate
we appreciate the stories, the good vibes, just the journey of what you guys are doing. I mean, again, you guys are inspiring so many people, not just in our country, but internationally. Mm-hmm. So we're always going to be looking up to you guys on what you guys are going to be doing next. You know, in fact, you know, we're going to put it all over our bios of the charities that you guys are working with so that people can get more in tune with what you guys are doing and how they can help. Make sure you guys check out, you know, PBA Motor Club and
like and subscribe.
Like, subscribe, check them out. They're doing some amazing things. So you guys appreciate the love, appreciate everything that you guys do, and, you know, keep it up. Until then, you guys, that wraps it up for our first episode of season 2. Stay tuned for the next slew of episodes. We got a big, big season for you guys to come. Until next time, peace out. Stay out of the shadows. Amazing.
Let it fly. Let it fly.
Amazing.